Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Junktime AFL Podcast for Round 10, 2022. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who's called for a full review of one of Australia's most well-known teams. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. And I guess, you know, we've probably been talking about this side for a few weeks now. We could see that the writing was on the wall. And then Saturday night, they absolutely, once again, on the big stage, failed to deliver and... it's getting embarrassing. Like, it's an embarrassing thing. I think we're calling for a rebuild. And I say that the Liberal Party needs a full review from what was the top man all the way down to the
shoe-shiner.
RM Williams wearing boots to the shoe shiner. Yeah. All the way down to the shoe shiner. The writing's on the wall. They've got to start again. And I'm saying full review. You get in Pav. You get in Jason Dunstall. Mm-hmm. You get in Jeff Walsh. You're asking the hard questions. Yep. And you look at the club and you go, all right, what are we doing? Are we getting in some new recruits? Are we starting again? Are we pulling some people out of... are we going back to the private schools and getting young fuckwits out of there? What are we doing? How are we going about it?
Because you have to think about it, don't you? They've been up for a long time, so it was bound to happen, wasn't it? I mean, they've been up for a good, 7, 8, 9 years now. So
when they last won, everyone was like, this team's just, they keep pulling them out of nowhere. How do they do it, you know? Everyone thought they were going to lose the last one. They win it. They come back this year. And you could see that it was coming. The cracks were appearing and they just couldn't see the issues within. And that's why you need someone to go in there and say, hey, everybody, hey, fellas, hey, one lady that's here. You all guys, you need to start again.
I was thinking that maybe last time when they won it, maybe it kind of covered up the cracks a little bit. And so they got a little bit confident thinking, you know, we've got a solid captain. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, he plays a different kind of game. He plays a different style.
Yep.
He's unconventional.
It's very rare that the coach of the team gaslights the whole rest of the supporter base, but that's what he does.
He does make a lot of headlines, yeah. And I'm sure you don't want to see, the team just got tired of seeing themselves on the front page of the paper every day.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I feel like on Saturday, the thing is, the captain stepped down. He's still going to play. He's still going to play for the team, obviously. But, I don't know if he's going to be playing every game.
No, he's going to be in the reserves for quite a bit of the next couple of years, I would have thought.
And then they'd lost a couple of future leaders, I think. There was a particular guy in Kooyong who people were touting him as a future captain of the team.
Absolutely.
Which has now opened up a gap in...
now, he's not even in the team. He can't even make it back. He can't even fight himself back to form. He's just fucking cooked.
What a downfall. Go from future captain to not even playing anymore. I mean, this kind of stuff.
Could you imagine that, though? If to put it in a football analogy, that you were basically being touted as the future captain and leader of the club.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it's like he's done a double ACL on the same day.
Yeah.
And the doctors have said, mate, you'll never walk again.
Yeah.
But he's like, can't I go to Germany to get blood injections? They're like, mate, it's not even going to help you.
So they're obviously out for a big rebuild. Look, Adam, I've been saying this for a long time. They need to go back to the pre-selection, okay? They need to get proper recruits out there picking proper people who can play the game properly from all around the country too, okay? You can't just be scouting the private schools, just walking up to people going, what investment bank does your dad work for? You need to get in there properly to get the proper candidates to play this game. Because they don't muck around in Canberra. They don't muck around in Canberra, Adam.
You see
what they do? I mean, you can go away for a few home games when you go around campaigning in, New South Wales, Queensland, Tasmania. But when you get onto the Canberra field, it's a different game, Adam.
It is. You know what they kind of, you know what would really help the Liberals as they go forward? Have they considered accessing Paul Roos one day a week via Zoom? Now, he's turned around. I mean, look what he did. You know, the Swans, obviously, he brought them their first big win after a long time in the wilderness. He basically started Melbourne's rebuild. This man knows sort of hard work. He likes to be there and let other people do the hard yards for him. I think he can do it for the Libs.
I think that would work quite well. And also the idea of, like, when they have question time or, you know, debating a bill in a house, that it's just like an iPad of Paul Roos on a chair.
Getting the
and then
done.
Also, every time you ask the question of Paul Roos, because he is a former footballer, you have to begin it with, question without notice.
question time without notice. How fucking good is that?
But obviously, I mean, obviously over the last little while, like we've seen the writing on the wall, they have alienated the female fans, obviously, in a great deal. They're, you know, the attendances have not been what they want. And then also, some of the prices at the games, like I bought a sausage on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
$7, mate. Like that kind of stuff has to be stamped out. The government
needs to. Yeah, you can't handle that. Yeah, the inflation's gone. It's gone through the roof. People can't handle it anymore.
Did you watch it on the Saturday night?
I was doing a gig, so I started watching a little bit of coverage. I was flipping between that and the Dreamtime game at the MCG, the Essendon Richmond one. And so I was kind of going back and forth. And early doors, I didn't know which coverage I wanted to watch, so I sort of checked them all out. And the ABC's one, they kind of, because they were altering, they weren't just saying, oh, ALP, the Labor Party, had won this many. You know, they weren't just putting up numbers when they'd won. They were saying, this is what they're projected to win. And then that would change as the count came in. So when I first turned it on, it looked like the Libs were leading by heaps. And I was well, this is fucked. I can't go through this shit again. I don't want to do that. And then I kind of flicked around and I thought
Julie
Bishop
that because
was...
you're a One Nation supporter?
Yeah, absolutely. I just didn't know how we were going. You know, I wanted to know how my Pauline was going to go in the Senate. I did flick around a bit and I thought that Julie Bishop was best on ground with the special comments. I thought she was quite sharp and really funny on Channel 9.
She was Channel 9, am I right?
Yes, that's right.
I flicked around a little bit just through kind of the work I'm doing at the minute. We had to, we divvied up the station. So I watched Sky News. I put my hand up to take a bullet for that.
Oh, how was that?
Well, I actually thought it'd be, in a way, like, interesting in terms of, like, you know, they'd be teeing off, they'd get angry, all those coverages. You know, sometimes when the coverage, they start out really happy and then the results come in and there's a tipping point where they become, like, they no longer want to talk and they're just like, fucking, you do the throw to break, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, I might be putting words into their own heads, but I've got the feeling that maybe they knew the writing was on the wall and so they were already sad going into it. And so they had eight people on a panel. They had Richo and Peter Credlin were the two people I recognised because I'm not obviously a big Sky News watcher. But they didn't seem to really want to talk a great deal. And then also when they announced winners, I understand it was very low key, but they kind of like would put up a graphic or lights of Labor wins with this kind of not triumphant music, like just kind of strings.
You know what, I guess
but
that's
definitely
a hard
wasn't
thing.
The kind if of crazies that you normally expect. Like, I barely kind of found anything kind of humorous or interesting about it.
I guess it's a hard thing, though. If it's a six, it's a 6-5 hour broadcast and 3 hours in or 2.5 hours in, you know that it's going not the way you want it. That's a pretty fuck thing to keep broadcasting. Like, if you know, remember that time they did that press red for Ed and they had Eddie Maguire and Strawny and Dakes and Tony Shaw commentating a Collingwood game and they were playing Melbourne and it was really obvious early on because they thought it was a gimme and Melbourne came out and shocked them.
Mm.
And it was one of those things where you go, they don't want to be there, but they're just there because they're contractually obliged now.
Oh, dude, I remember 1 year ago and I actually really reckon they should keep doing that press red for Ed and also do other teams as well. I mean...
Well, you can get that kind of coverage in the States. If you follow a team, you get that team's coverage.
Well, they did a KB one for one of the Richmond games, but there was one particular game, and it was part of the theatrics, but the Collingwood were clearly going to lose, you know, from about, you know, early in the last, and ended up losing, and then they all just went, oh, well, that's it, we're out of here, and just kind of packed up their gear and left. Like, they were actually literally out of there within, like, 30 seconds of the final siren.
Yeah, like a supporter. And it was great to see. It was really great to see. But I think we're kind of burying the lead here because Carlton are currently 8-2 and ensconced in the top four. So I didn't give really that much of a flying fuck what did go down on Saturday night because I'm a happy man at the moment, Michael. So I'm hearing, so Carlton the third, a game clear, that after the
clear. Sheesh. I am loving this new use of the language on the podcast, Adam.
Well, no, I've heard clear. I've heard this from other people, and that's what I was going to ask you. So at the end of the season, after round 23, do we get to keep playing football after that, or does everyone go on their respective end-of-season trips? What happens there? I'm not...
Well, Adam, when a football club love each other very much...
Yeah, yeah.
They then often play other football clubs in September. Uh-huh. And then at the very end, if they love each other enough, they get a big shiny cup to put on a shelf.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. It's a new world for you, dude.
It is. It really is. It really is honestly a new world. I was, I had a gig on Friday night and then went out for beers after that. Now, Carlton kicked 9 goals in the second quarter. This is what Carlton do. They get the lead and then we let other teams whittle it away just to fucking ruin our supporters' lives.
Yeah, dude, I was really hoping, I must say. I mean, I'm not in a bad way. Like, I do wish your team every success, but also, like, your failures are my successes. And also, it's better for me to be able to kind of, you know, look, what I'm putting this way, I'm happy when you're in a bad mood. About
and I know that. And John Ralph wrote an article today, and it said the 8 reasons why people would happily have Carlton as their second team. And I just read through it, and I loved, you know, reading about the Blues, but I just go, no one is putting Carlton as their second team. People hate us.
Hate? I don't know. I don't think it's hate nowadays by the fact, you know...
been so pathetic for so long, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, go back to, like, that 80s kind of period when, you know, you're buying players, and then also that, you know...
Everyone's doing that.
And 90s when you cheated and...
Everyone cheated then.
2000s and you cheated again and...
Well, everyone stopped cheating then.
So I think it's not hate, but I think it'll only take 2 years of you being in the top four before we hate you. But even if you think about it with Richmond, like in, you know, 2017, everyone's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then come 2019, everyone's like, well, fuck, I've had this shit. Fucking fuck off, Richmond.
You know what's going to be interesting is for me to find out people who barrack for Carlton that I didn't know about, right? Because... if I know that you've bagged for Carlton over the last 20 years, that says to me that you're a fucking diehard. But if I get all these people coming out of the fucking woodwork going, oh, the Blues, and I'm like, were you there in 2015 when we hadn't kicked a goal against Frio at Marvel at halftime and they came out and did an activation that said, oh, come outside and get your membership. And I was like, no one's buying a fucking membership, you idiots. If you were there then you're right there beside me, but I don't believe you were.
I remember during Hawthorn's glory times of recent times. I should clarify those times of my lifetime. So I'm talking about the ones in the 20 teens. Just by the fact that you might meet someone, you're making small talk, whatever. Like, you know, it's no big deal. You don't know this person. And you go, oh, who do you barrack for? You go, Hawthorn. They go, yeah, I fucking hate Hawthorn. You go, you know, you didn't need to add that bit. Like, because we don't know each other.
No, you do. Because you get used to what Hawthorn supporters are like, and you were rightly so. Don't get me wrong.
Admittedly, I was at a meeting for work, and I was wearing face paint. And I had a TV screen with me, and I was playing highlights of the 2014 Grand Final in the middle of a meeting. But come on, guys, like, you know.
Yeah, everyone relax.
So, second teams. I find that. What are some of the reasons why we should be Carlton should be our second team?
They were just talking about, like, the fun style that they play in, how Patrick Cripps is back to being, you know, one of the best players in the comp. Charlie Curnow's fun to watch.
The paper bag money.
Does anyone begrudge Michael Voss having a good second chance at it, you know? We're just a feel-good team, Michael. We're just a feel-good team.
You don't have an affinity for a second team, do you?
No, I don't think I do. But when two teams say and they get in the grand final, and it's not until you're like, I don't really care about either of these sides. But once the ball was bounced, and you're like, oh no, fuck them. I know who I'm going for.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I've definitely done that for grand finals. But yeah,
like I think for 2019, I think everyone was on board GWS. That was just going to be a really fun thing. They got to their first ever grand final, and everyone was on board. And I reckon too, your second team is probably who, like, there might be that rogue family member who doesn't support what everyone
probably
goes for.
Probably a team that you hear about a bit, so you kind of know the players a bit more. I think maybe that might be the idea. You haven't said that. I'll make it absolutely clear to the junk timers out there, if you got a second team, stop fucking listening to the podcast right now, because you're an absolute disgrace. Now, I get it if your team merged or went to another. Well, actually, Sydney still went from South Melbourne to Sydney. There's still a team, you know.
Still the Swans.
And also, if you kind of, I feel like if you maybe a new team came in. So maybe you were an Adelaide fan and then Port came in. But then I figure like if you're a Port fan, you would have crossed over to Port anyway, but maybe you didn't want to start again. But having said that, if you did fucking not just pick one, fuck you. Fucking press stop on the podcast right now. You're an absolute disgrace.
Well, we're not costing us viewers. No, he's joking, junk timers. We love everyone, even if you're a weirdo with a second team.
But I remember, every grand final I do pick a team that I want to win, you know. Not too fussed about it, but I usually go for the good story, like whether it's a team that hasn't won it for a long time, or you know, there's a bunch of good players, or I remember, I think it was 2018, I was a bit apathetic going into that one, Collingwood Eagles, and then I'm a bit like you, like I was thinking, oh, it'd be nice, you know, like Nathan Buckley gets one, you know, like good
that.
Fun, and then fucking when the ball was bounced, like I want the Eagles to fucking smash this.
I need this to happen. Same as like Richmond Geelong in 2020. You know,
that was
so
fucking tough, man. That was a social choice for me.
Yeah, I was so indifferent to either side. You hate Geelong.
Geelong winning one, I was like, fuck. But then I was like, you know, Richmond again, you know. So, yeah, that was very tough for me.
So.
Because I like to center every grand final about me as well.
Yeah, well, you know, you are usually there. So it almost is always about you.
But then the contrast of last year as well, by the fact that it was Dogs, it was D's. Yeah, the Dogs have won one, but they'd only won one in close to 70 years.
Yes.
And then you had the D's, hadn't won it forever. You know, like you felt a bit bad picking the D's by the fact that you go like, you know, the Dogs, you know, they need a bit of love as well.
Yeah, two in 5 years would have been nice for the Doggies. No one would have begrudged the Doggies that, I don't think. But then when Melbourne won, but then when Melbourne kicked like, you know, 14 of 15 or whatever the fuck it was. I'm sure Melbourne supporters will let us know. You're just like, all right, fucking stop showing off. Like, make it competitive. You know, there's no need to be like that about it. Now, obviously, you didn't get to the Dreamtime at the G on Saturday night. I didn't go. I had a gig. But I thought they did a really good job of it beforehand. You know, when they turned the stadium to darkness and there were some Richmond players in the middle doing the war dance as well, and they all got in a circle around them. I thought they looked fucking fantastic, didn't it?
I thought it was really cool, actually. It's got to be pretty big on the AFL calendar nowadays when you think about those marquee days like Anzac Day, Dreamtime. If Queen's Birthday was like now with Neil Danaher, and then also if there was like a prolonged success of both teams, like you can see that packing out every year.
Yeah.
What would the marquee days be?
No, that'd be about it, I reckon. It's just sort of the three.
No, I mean, Hawthorn played Sydney on Anzac Day, so in Tasmania. So I reckon that's probably number four on the list now.
The big ones, yeah. But apparently Saturday night's game, aside from, you know, Richmond getting the job done, Essendon came out, showed a little bit of fight. They got, you know, they weren't being pushed around. But it turns out their fans weren't being pushed around either. There were a couple of articles. There's a bit of trouble at the MCG on Saturday night, and the cops blamed it on preloading. So they said that everyone got a little bit charged up in the Arvo and then headed to the game and caused a bit of trouble.
So why is that happening at that game in particular but not happening at other big Saturday night games all around the country?
Yeah, that's what I was really genuinely surprised by, whether it just was a perfect storm of like being an election kind of thing and people were just, you know, out and about and partying or whatever. But the cop said because there was a person bit a cop, someone hit a cop. Someone got pepper sprayed. People ran onto the ground at quarter time.
That's really weird. Like, I mean, the election's not like it's a public holiday or something. Like, maybe people might gather, but you wouldn't start gathering until the votes were beginning to be counted. And then
it's a weird one. And then
no, go on.
Oh, and then there was one incident, which was not a very nice incident at all, where one young fella was hit with a didgeridoo. But I want to just say that I think we have come a long way in this country, that we are including Indigenous instruments as weapons. And I just think, like 20 years ago, no one's getting hit with a didgeridoo. And I just think, good on everyone out there for accepting that as a part of, you know, it's just acceptance. And I like that, Michael.
As we walk this tight line, I would imagine by that time, Albo has been declared the winner. So, Australia,
yep,
we can joyfully welcome everyone into Anthony Albanese's Australia. where people,
yep,
his arms are that far wide open. People, yep, are getting attacked with didgeridoos.
With didgeridoos, yeah. People are feeling under Albo's regime that they can bite cops on the faces. That's what we're faced with for three more years.
Now, I find it interesting. They say about 50 people got kicked out. Now, I can... Okay, I'm leaving myself wide open right here. I don't remember many people being kicked out of the footy. Now, okay. So, but usually you can kind of tell that, like, there's a crowd, there's commotion, there's, you know, a blue or something. What do you have to do to get kicked out without being... What are the rules? Like, physical, obviously.
Yeah, abusive.
I think abuse... I think if you kind of, you know, drop
sexist a lot or racist, stuff, yeah, fucking oath, you get out.
Yeah, sure. But how many people are going along anymore? Like, are not getting shut down really quick?
The other thing I don't understand is normally that kind of argy-bargy will happen during a really tense match. So people will be, you know, on edge, bad free kick, they're yelling at other fans and stuff.
Yeah,
but this wasn't a particularly close game after halftime. Richmond kind of ran away with it. But I guess some people just, you know, they love having a bit too much. Remember a few years ago when Nathan Jones's dad was attacked? I think it was a Queen's birthday game. But the supporters, the Collingwood supporters that roughed him up, they were on pills.
And oh, God.
Like, who takes ecstasy at the footy? Like, footy's pretty good. I enjoy it. I've never thought, how can I get higher than my team winning on the final siren?
I mean, I'm also on a little bit like the preloading before you go to a game. Like, I've just never been a drinker at a game. Like, I want to watch the actual game. And I think I imagine I'd prefer to be able to concentrate on the game than think about my buzz. Now, I understand, like, the drinks are, like, you know, $55,000.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've just never been one to kind of go to drink or be drunk at the football.
Well, you've never been with me then, have you? I go to drink. Like,
but you were drinking to forget during those years.
Yeah, like, yeah,
I imagine now in the future, it would be very sober Rosie if you go to the football. Now, after the
absolutely
game, might be a bit differently, but you want to concentrate on the game.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever rocked up, you know. I've never done the pre-drinking to go to the footy. I might have a beer or two at a pub with someone, but never, like, got loaded up to go. Yeah, so it's cheaper once I'm in there. I only need a couple to keep me topped up.
I'm actually a little bit worried about Marvel Stadium now, actually. Now you're talking about how, you know, Carlton's going well. You're not going to be drinking to forget. I'm a little bit worried they're going to fall short on cash this year when you go to the Carlton home games.
Yeah, well...
Are you as angry as me?
I'd say so.
I'm pretty angry right now, just by the fact the news we got during the week that the AFLW, they announced the return date for the 2022 season, and I'm not happy, Adam.
Well, I'm not happy. I mean, they were sitting on it for quite some time, and obviously they were weighing up the ramifications of putting it on the date that they said they were going to start it. And you just kind of go... If you want to pick a fight, AFL and AFLW, you fucking go right ahead because you've started it.
Come at me, bro. Come at me, bro.
so the AFLW is kicking off when the Junktime AFL bi-week live show is going to be up and about.
And you know they did that on purpose. You know. There is
absolutely
no other reason why the AFL... would be starting the AFLW season on that weekend. Like, they know.
And all I say to Gil is enjoy not getting 200 more people to the AFLW because they're going to be sitting in a room with us laughing at a really pathetic story that Michael's telling about his childhood.
And well, guys, I hope you weren't expecting Ricky Nixon to show up to North Melbourne versus St Kilda, okay?
Yeah.
Because that little guy is booked that Sunday.
Yeah, he won't be doing your pre-game.
But it's actually a twofer, actually, with Ricky, because we'll have him on the show, obviously, because he's a respected person. Yeah. We need to talk to him. And then on top of that, free booster shots. So that's a little add-on.
Free booster shots. And as a part, with your ticket, you get a grand final ball. From
you get a grand final ball. Yep. Yeah. Signed by every Melbourne player and not Ricky by his opposite hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Signed by Max Gorn. Gorn, G-O-R-N-E.
And Craig Petrarca, who wears the number 112.
Yes.
But yeah, so they've announced the opening of the AFLW season, and they're clearly treading on our turf. But I think also, aren't shows also trying to tread on our turf for the Two Guys One Cup Grand Final show that we do as well, the day after the Grand Final? I feel like either people are trying to tread on our turf, or we've not picked good dates to maximise crowds.
No, I think that the post-grand final show, that is like, again, 200 less people. You're going to be getting to whatever event you've got on. It's always a sellout. It's going to be great. We can announce it now. Tickets available at Try Booking. I just made that up. They're not. We haven't even thought about it.
No, but, we haven't, no.
Your face, no, we definitely haven't. But you know what you can get tickets for, Michael? You want a fucking good show. Forget about us up against the AFLW. Two of probably the greatest entertainers that I reckon football has ever known, Jordan DeGoey and Braden Maynard, are doing a live show at the Manhattan Hotel in Ringwood on Wednesday the 1st of June.
Now, they talk about it being a bit of a no-holds-barred kind of show.
Oh, you are, mate, uncensored. It is going to be on.
And I can absolutely guarantee there'll be no one from the club standing at the mixing desk of the soundie, just getting ready to pull down the volume on the microphones when anything gets a bit close to the edge.
Absolutely. So they've put out a poster, and on the poster, Jordan and Braden are both wearing Collingwood jumpers, but they're Collingwood jumpers that look like they've been airbrushed on because they don't have any sponsorship logos. So it's almost like they've kind of said to the club, hey, we're going to go rogue, but we're not going to take down any of our fantastic sponsors while we're doing it.
Well, that actually tricked me because I did see the poster. And to me, without the sponsors, I was completely lost. I was like,
Didn't know who they were.
Of guys in a black and white striped top, you know. One of them looks like, DeGoey.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think they're Collingwood players, but I'm not entirely sure because without the sponsors, I'm a little bit flying blind.
Yeah. $49 $49 to go see these boys chat.
Should we have a
What do you reckon you're going to get? How long do you reckon it's going to go for?
But
for $49, I want like a full 2 hour show, probably with maybe a comedian thrown in if it's just the footballers. Like, what are those two going to? I mean, I guess. Okay. Jordan can give us 2 hours worth of stories, but can he give us 2 hours worth of the stories that we want to hear?
I figure 49. Like, I want a meal for that. And then I do want a comp pair of some type to keep it on track. So if it's like an evening with Jordan DeGoey, hosted by Braden Maynard, then I'm going to say no. But if it had like a mediator or someone, you know, with who can actually ask questions and stuff like that, and not just be like, hey, Jordy, like, you know, when you kicked the goal, what was that like?
Good question.
Question without notice.
That's a good question. What about, okay, hear me out. Eddie Maguire is the MC.
Yeah, and Eddie
he can ask the tough questions, and you know, oh, he's going to grill these two about everything they've done in their private lives. You're going to get the best of both of them.
We had a private agreement before the show. No, nothing off the table except 99.9% off the table.
Yeah, exactly. Except everything.
Jordy, okay, I'll start off first. What's your favourite colour? Oh, Eddie, you can't go there.
Yeah, that's tough. What about if we sent a junk timer to go to the show and review it for us?
Yeah, I can handle that. Junk timer's out there. If you want to get a ticket to the Jordy and Maynard show and then give us a written review.
And we'll pay for your ticket. We'll pay for one lucky junk timer to go along. If you live, say you live out in Ringwood and you want to go there, we would love for someone to go along and let us know what it was like and review it.
Now, I've got to ask the question, Adam. How do we make this sure it's real by the fact, okay, we can say to people, hit us up at junktimealphapod@gmail.com.
Oh, yes, yes, right.
And then we give them $49. And then they write a review.
We bought 100 tickets. This is unbelievable.
Or it could be pay for the ticket and there probably might be a service charge. And don't try and stiff us. We want the receipt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we'll reimburse you for the ticket. Okay.
Once you've got photographic proof of you next to Jordan Ngoi and Braden Maidenhead with that day's Herald Sun. We want proof of life.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So Junk Time is out there. If you do want a ticket to go to the show, you've got to buy it.
Yep.
Then you got to go to the show, and then you got to write a review for it. And how long should the review be? Like, I don't know. How long are words? Like 500 words?
Like
or
500
dot points?
Words.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Just something that gives us a fair gist of what went down, almost like a review of something that you might see in the paper.
Yeah, sure. Actually, that actually would be fascinating. And
you know what? I'm just checking the AFL fixture just to see what is going on that week. And I have a feeling that I will be doing front bar that week, I believe. So what I'm thinking is that you go by yourself.
Oh.
And because, you know, you take it to the people out in Ringwood. You're a man of the people. You go out there. And
is that
you
how you pronounce it? Ringwood?
Ringwood, yeah. It's a little bit further east than what you're used to.
Wednesday night. Okay. June 1st. Yep. I can check my diary. I do have a day off on Wednesday.
It's next week, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. I'm well fucking aware what you put me in for right now. Well, maybe. Okay. But if there is someone who... for them, it's far more convenient.
Yes, yes. If someone's out in Ringwood who's a Collingwood fan who wants to go, hit us up. We are junktimeaflpod at all our socials and email at gmail.com. Hit us up. We would love to send someone along because I am genuinely fascinated as to what this is going to be like.
You know what, actually? It reminds me, actually, Adam, when I was a little kid, when I was about 12 or so, they could have been champions on their Sunday night show. They used to have a thing called the Cub Reporter.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been champions for people who may not be aware that long staple, particularly in Victoria, and went from ABC to 3AW, back to ABC, now on another station right now, Magic, I believe. But then also had a national Sunday night show that, you know, would be a bit different. They would talk about football on the Saturday, talk about all things on a Sunday.
Life, yep.
And they had a segment called The Cub Reporter, and I went in there when I was about 12, put my hand up for it, where people would report on events. And I can't remember entirely if it was sporting events or other kind of events. I imagine sporting events. But it was a thing they did for a while, and I used to listen to the show. And so I went in there one night. I might have a tape of it somewhere.
That would be amazing. Do you remember what you reviewed?
You're going to love this.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. What did you review?
WrestleMania 6.
Oh, you're fucking... No. You know what? That's okay because you were 12 then.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Now,
oh, we're up
you
to like
38
or something
would
now. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Oh, and you would still be just as excited.
They, but they loved. They found it very funny because it was like, you know, I mean, I knew it was a joke, but also like you had to report on the things, and so it's like, you know, so and so lost to so and so when they got hit in the head with a megaphone, and they were just like, megaphone, without saying that, because they all knew the people as well. I wonder, I'll look around, I might have a tape of that, that I'm never going to fucking play on the podcast ever.
Well, also, would you have, if you did have the tape, do you know anyone who has a tape player? I don't think I would know where to access that kind of, hardware.
That's actually a really good question. Yeah, yeah. Actually, wouldn't it even be as simple as just like, you know, trying to transfer it to a computer? It'd be like, find someone who actually can do that.
Or else you'd have to be like get in your grandparents' car and put it in the tape deck in the middle. Because, you know, if you've got parents, grandparents who've got cars from the still early 90s, they might be running a cassette deck that they've never used.
You really would. You really would. Hey, should we do some footballers in real life?
Hit me, man. Hit me.
From Duncan. I'll listen. Oh, here we go, actually. So last week we were talking about medical marijuana.
Yep.
And we were a bit confused by it because you're obviously on the medicinal meth.
Meth, yes.
Yeah.
So I take that differently to how they might take the medicinal marijuana.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think it's actually interesting. You're talking to me afterwards and, like, the medicinal marijuana, like, it's, you know, you go to your GP and stuff like that. I didn't realise with medicinal meth that you actually meet a bloke called Shades in a car park. I didn't know that.
That from a dispensary called a compound.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, sure. He's got patches on his jacket. but I'm sure they're just saying the degrees. Like, I imagine Comancheros is like a university in Boston, right?
Yeah, yeah. A sergeant at arms sounds quite high.
From Duncan, I listened with interest and amusement this week as you discussed Dimmer's recent coming out regarding his use of medicinal cannabis. I relocated to regional Victoria. Oh, here we go. Regional Victoria 18 months ago, in brackets. Yes, I'm doing very well. And have been working for a pharmaceutical business that manufactures...
Oh, big pharma.
Oh, you low dog, Duncan. pharmaceutical business that manufactures the very products you are discussing.
Oh, shit.
Here we go. Duncan, dream job. I manage the quality control team.
Oh, how do you do that, Duncan? Hey, a drop on the tongue.
Blaze it up. Gee, what time do you finish? 4:20. and our business produces formulated oils that contain the magic fairy dust that many thousands of patients use every day. Dimmer obviously uses this for chronic back pain, but use varies depending on the ratio of different cannabinoids.
Yep.
And is prescribed to treat many and varied conditions.
Well, there you go.
Our product is, as you eventually deduce, taken orally, but it can also be prescribed in its flower form, predominantly in the European market. And this is obviously inhaled via the old jazz cigarettes.
Mm. There you go. Well, that's incredible. I didn't realise that we had a burgeoning industry in Victoria.
I am... now that we have hippies in Parliament House, like...
True.
I'm going to presume, like, legalised cannabis isn't far away. Like, I know it hasn't really been on the agenda in terms of, like, none of them have really wanted to commit entirely. But, like, it's
going to be... It's decriminalised in parts of Australia, isn't it? Which I never understood. If that's not legal, but you could grow enough for your personal use.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much like they... have gone soft on it in terms of, like, they're like, you can have that much. I think they're more worried about people who are selling it, you know, and just being like, and they're not worried about the people who were selling, you know,
a couple of grams.
A little bit, yeah, but they're more concerned about people like with 50 kilos in a garage and going, oh, what are you doing that? Huh?
They're more worried about people who are tapping into their neighbour's electricity supply for the hydroponics in the roof.
A little bit, yeah. I think they're more concerned about the people who maybe, I don't know, just maybe want to chuck a little bunch in a little boogie board and just kind of hustle their way to the airport and then head off to work.
Exactly.
from Luke, after last week's revelation that footballers from 2012 are acceptable to submit, I wanted to throw my own in. I'm an American. And I've grown up a massive footy fan thanks to my Australian dad. In November 2012 or 2013, which is it? Come on, Luke. I was on campus as a university student, specifically the University of Colorado. I was walking through the student centre when I spotted some surprisingly familiar logos in the dining hall. It was none other than several Essendon Bombers, Brendan Goddard, Dyson Heppel, Zacharakis, among others. They were excited to meet an American footy fan, but their excitement cooled pretty quickly when they found out I was a Carlton fan, thanks to the old man. They were in Colorado at the time to do some high altitude training before their preseason camp started properly. Fuck. You got to do the camp and then you got to do preseason. The team made the trip to Colorado several times in subsequent years, and that was the only time I actually spotted players on my campus. I know that they used the athletics facilities on campus as well as hiking in the Rocky Mountains.
So if that timing is right, 2013 was the year that they were kicked out of the finals. So that's when it all kind of came down. So that was would have been really around the time they would have looked. They probably got to the top of the Rocky Mountains in maybe 3 or 4 minutes flat, just jogging up there with a little bit of a Stephen Dank juice flowing through the veins.
They're there going kind of like, sheesh, I thought this trip would be really hard, but I'm fine.
I'm going really well.
University of Colorado, founded in 1878, and their major sports teams are
Cougars. There's got to be a Cougars. I'm guessing there's a Cougars, or Mountain Lions, or Pumas.
I'm looking here, Buffaloes.
The Buffalo. That's disappointing.
Buffaloes. They're in the Pac-12.
Pacific 12.
Yeah,
so that's
okay.
The teams other, with other unis like Oregon and probably Stanford and UCLA and stuff like that.
Gotcha. From Jack, I have a footballist in real life from 2018 that you might find amusing. I was out in Melbourne with a mate who took me to a swanky night spot. No idea what it was called. To celebrate him getting some corporate-sounding job. Despite the position only having a salary of $60,000, we were acting like we were doing very well for ourselves. And with my mate handing out his new business cards to women. Whilst waiting to order our next round, I saw a group of blokes wearing suits with matching golden brown ties. This could be anyone. One wranger in particular stood out to me as he looked like James Sicily. I approached the male and asked, "Has anyone ever told you you look like that Hawthorn player?" The male quickly replied, "I'm fucking not him," in a tone which implied if I asked a follow-up question, the response would be a swift jumper punch, but also confirmed that it was definitely Sicily. I then noticed a less formal member of the group that had ditched his tie and suit jacket, who turned out to be recent Brownlow medalist and Sydney's sixth best midfielder, Tom Mitchell. Fresh off a drumming by the Mighty Demons, we walked into the after party for the Hawthorn B&F. I realised my night was over when I saw Jager O'Meara reasoning that I couldn't compete with that and was unlikely to pull.
I mean, you got to face facts.
While waiting for my Uber, I saw Luke Bruce and some bearded gentleman on the street, so I asked for a photo. They agreed on the condition that I didn't send it to the papers. Okay, come on, Luke, and bearded gentleman, you know. Really, not, you know. The unknown bearded male was apparently Jack Scrimshaw, according to my friend, who is a bandwagon Hawthorn fan. I have since lost the photos. I cannot confirm the identity. Jack, I'm doing very well for myself and can afford the $2 Patreon. Thank you, Jack. That's very kind of you.
Thank you, Jack. We do appreciate that.
We do very much so. Hey, we're going to hit the road. We are Junktime Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go.
Go the Blues.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.